Stop This. Welcome to another laugh session with Can You Stop This? Presented every week at this time by the National Broadcasting Company. And starring Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
Ward Wilson.
Hello.
Senator Ford.
Good evening.
And now transcribed, here is your master of ceremonies for Can You Stop This, Roger Bauer.
Thank you, Jack Costello. Can You Stop This is unrehearsed and spontaneous, and our top rule is to keep them laughing. Everybody is invited to send in a joke, and if your story is told by our master storyteller, Peter Donald, you start with $25. Each time a wit ties or tops you, you lose $5. In addition, if you top all our wits, you will receive a recording of Peter Donald telling your story on the air. Laughs are registered on the Can You Top This Laugh Meter in full view of our studio audience, and in all cases, the decision of our judges is final. Well, gentlemen of the panel, the laugh meter is ready. Charlie Gray, our engineer, is ready. Pete Donald is ready. The question now is, are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Oh, that fine opening start. We'll get right underway. The first contributor to test our laugh meter tonight is Bob L. Cheek of Sun Brown, Texas. His subject is gossip, gentlemen. Gossip. Pete, would you work up a case for Mr. Cheek on that laugh meter?
Yeah, I sure will try for Sun Brown, Texas. Well, it seems that this little guy, Ajax Cassidy, himself, he's having a little refreshment down at the corner in this Pierre Murphy's Salon de Booze down there, and he's standing, and all of a sudden his old pal, Michael Houlihan, comes in.
And Mike says to him, Ajax, me boy, it's fine to see you. Ah, you're looking grand, I must say it. He says, tell me what's the latest news around the neighborhood.
He says, don't you know? He didn't hear. Well, he says, Flanagan bought his wife a vacuum cleaner.
He said, a vacuum cleaner? What in the world is that?
He says, that's the way they spell it. It's a vacuum cleaner, and it's a queer-looking beast. It's got a big snout at one end and a long tail at the other, and you stick its tail in the wall, and whoosh! It takes all the dirt off like the foam on a beer.
Well, he said, that sounds like a marvelous invention. He says, how does Mrs. Flanagan like this vacuum cleaner?
Well, she says that it's at least 7 times better than a broom.
He said, 7 times better. How would she figure out that it was exactly 7 times better?
He says, I'll tell you. He says, the other night Flanagan was out pretty late, and he come home filled up with liquid enthusiasm, and they had a little argument, and his wife hit him with the vacuum cleaner, and she knocked him 7 times further than she used to do with the broom.
Oh, you knocked it right to the top, Pete. 1,000 on the lamp, Peter. So, here's the way we start, fellows. Mr. Cheek leads off with $25 and $1,000 on the laugh meter. Who wants to be the first to cut down that lead? Any hands up there? Harry Hirschfield had his hand up first.
Well, Pete spoke about Mrs. Flanagan. I could talk about Mrs. Goldberg. Mrs. Goldberg, a very fine woman, in the faith, and her boy was growing up, and she wanted to him to marry in the faith. She felt he should, like every people that want them. But she'd heard gossips that he was running around with this girl and that girl, and she wasn't sure that she was of her faith. And the more he asked her, the more he wouldn't tell her, and she was distracted. She was gone wild. Would he marry in the faith? Oh, that was the most important. Would he marry in the faith? One day she had to send his clothes down to the tailor. So she was taking the stuff out of his clothes, and as she was taking out the articles, out fell a lipstick, said, Helena Rubinstein, said, that's fine, she's one of us.
That's the top of the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman.
Point of order. Yes, Mr.
Please.
Senator from...
Just a moment, please, Mr. Chairman. Let me finish. The last witness, story was irrelevant and immaterial, and I suggest that it be stricken from the record.
I think you have 800 people who don't want it stricken, Dad.
I have 9,000 Jenkins butting in on me. Well, did you want me to talk?
No, I'd like to have you talk. If I could just give the score here.
No, I was thinking this.
Mr. Cheek was tied by Mr. Hirschfield, and so in that case, we chopped away $5. Now it's $20, and now, Senator?
There was a lawyer who subpoenaed a young fellow as his principal witness, and the kid had hardly gotten into the witness chair when the lawyer started firing questions at him. He said, have you any occupation? The kid said, what? He said, have you any occupation? He said, have you any job? He said, no. He said, has your father any occupation? He said, no. He said, well, who supports your family? He says, nobody. Does he mean to tell me that your father don't support the family? He says, nope. He says, well, then, according to what I've heard, your father's a no-good, lazy bum, isn't he? He's not, no, ask him yourself. He said he's a foreman of the jury.
And the answer came back 1,000 and a half.
Yeah, well, the answer was that the lawyer lost the case.
I see. Well, I'm not going into the legal aspects of it, just what's on our lap, Peter. And you tied Mr. Cheeks 1,000. He's up with another $5. He has $15, and we have Ward Wilson.
Roger, I was thinking about the one of the three old gals who were shooting the breeze up on the porch in one of these summer resort hotels, and each trying to outdo the other in the gossip department, talking about this and that. And they finally got around to their eldest children and their experiences in the war. And this one dame said, well, I just had a word from my son. He's out at Fort Ord. And I'm very happy to know from his letter that he just received his majority. So the second one looked at her and she said, well, isn't that strange? Says, I just received a message from my son. He's down in Texas. And he has just received his lieutenancy. Isn't that wonderful? And they looked at the third woman. She said nothing. They said, Mrs. Cohen, don't you have anything to say on the subject? She says, yes, incidentally, I do. I had a letter last week from Sammy, and I'm very happy to tell you that he's still enjoying his privacy.
And you are enjoying 1,000 on the Can You Top This last week. You also tied Mr. Bob L. Cheek. That was a perfect round, gentlemen. As my tote board shows, that all three of you which tied Mr. Cheek. And so he receives, with our very best wishes, $10. Well, let's see if he can do as well in this next round. Mrs. Donald Cloth makes the next bid for top money. She lives in North Lake, Illinois. And her subject is money, gentlemen. Money.
That's some subject.
Always a welcome one, I'm sure, Harry. Pete, would you pay off Mrs. Cloth and our Lafayette, please?
Yeah, this is about a little boy, and he asks his dad, he says, hey, Pop, can I please have a penny?
The father said, you know, son, you've been asking me for pennies all week long. What do you do with all these pennies?
Well, he says, gee, Pop, I put them in the chewing gum machine.
He said, in the chewing gum machine. You know, my boy, suppose I give you a penny every time you ask for it, and instead of putting it in the gum machine, you just put it in your pocket and save it. And every day, Daddy will give you a penny, and every day, you'll save a penny in your little pocket. And after a while, it will be 100 days, and you'll have 100 pennies in your pocket. And do you know what that means?
The kid says, yeah, it means my pants will be dragging on the ground.
Well, he dragged off $800 on the laugh meter there, Pete, for Mrs. Donald Clark. So there you are, men. Mrs. Clark's story registered $800 on the laugh meter, and we credit her with $25. Who wants to be the first to offer that picture? All three hands up, hey? Well,
it's a subject we know something about.
Well, in that case, Senator, we'll let you go first.
Oh. There was a teacher of surgery and medicine who was conducting a class, and he said to one of the students, if you were called in to administer to a man who had swallowed a coin, what would be your procedure? And he said, if I was called in to do something about a guy who had swallowed a coin, he said, I'd get a member of the income tax department because those guys can get money out of anybody. Well, up in my hometown, there was Dopey Dildock, who is the San Juan of Southold. He runs an hockey pot and he says, hey, Hockey, I had a girl out last night. I spent $1 on her. Hockey says, is that all? He says, that's all she had.
And all you got was 1,000 left, Mr. Senator. You top Mrs. Claus 800. Any other hands there, fellas? Ward Wilson, how about you?
Along money lines, one of my favorites, I think. I don't know whether I've told it before on this show or not, but if I have, I think it bears repetition about this bartender who got a job over in the bar on the west side. And his first day on the job, around 5 o'clock, this big Irishman came in and he said, give me a shot of whiskey. So he set it up and the guy drank it and he said, so long. The bartender looked at him and he said, wait a minute. He says, how about the money for that drink? He says, what are you talking about, money for the drink? He says, I paid you just when they come in and ordered the drink. He says, well, I'm sorry, I overlooked it. So the next night, another Irishman comes in and orders a drink, drinks it down, starts to walk out, and this guy says, wait a minute there. He says, how about the money for the drink? He says, what are you talking about? You gave me the change, my $5 bill there. Are you crazy or out of your mind or something? He says, well, maybe I am. I don't know. So this went on for about 4 or 5 days. This guy's really getting ready to flip his wig. He's going out of his mind with these cases. So about the 6th day, this little guy came in. He says, may I have a glass of beer, please?
So the guy gives him a glass of beer and he starts mumbling to himself. He says, of all the joints I ever worked in my life, he says, 5 nights in a row. Some guy has come in here, ordered a drink of whiskey, thrown it down his gullet, walked out. I asked him for the money. He says, I paid you before I got the drink. I paid you when I got the drink. I gave you the change back. All these cock and bull stories. Can you beat it? Little guy looked at him. He says, never mind with the anecdotes. Give me my change, please.
You got no change. You got the same instead of the Ford. $1,000 on the last meter. You also topped Mrs. Foss, $800, and so we chopped away $5. She now has $15. And Harry Hirsch, how about you?
Well, there's a famous Wall Street story about these two fellows from uptown, and one says, I'll bet I can get in to see John Pierpont Morgan in his office, and if I'll talk to him, he'll give me a big loan. So the fellow says, I'll go along with you. The fellow says, you stay outside, I'll go in and get John Pierpont Morgan. So he comes in there, and a very austere gentleman says, who do you wish to see? He said, John Pierpont Morgan. Oh, he says, yes. Just go straight down the hall, turn to the left, you'll see a room called 1A. Go in there. So he's on there, goes in 1A, and there's another fellow there, said, Mr. Morgan, you wish to see? He said, yes. He said, turn right again, and then a little left, and you come to another room, AA. So he goes in there and comes in there. Another fellow's there, said, Mr. Morgan, I would imagine you wish to see. He said, yes. He said, go to the left again, go up one flight, go to another, and you go to a place, and go down the stairs, and you'll come to a room called private. So he goes up there, goes in a room called private, and he finds himself out in the street facing Julius again. So Julius said, did you see Morgan? He says, no, but oh, have they got a sister?
And you have too, Harry. You also got $1,000 on the last. It was a perfect round for you three wits, but not so perfect for Mrs. Claus. Because in as much as all three of you which topped her 800, we send her with our very best wishes, $10. Our Can You Top This contest moves along with a joke from Denver, Colorado, was sent in by Joel Nolan. And Mr. Nolan's subject should be a cinch for you three longtime Benedicts. Husbands, gentlemen. Husbands.
Benedicts, he calls.
Pete, would you enter
Benedicts.
Pete, would you enter Mr. Nolan's joke in the last stage, please?
This husband been out playing cards with the boys, and it got a little late, and he's trying to sneak in without letting the missus know he's coming home. And he just gets the key in the door, just barely gets it open. Gonna tiptoe upstairs, and she calls up. She says, John, that's you! He says, yes, honey, that's me.
He says, it's the first time you've been getting in. What time is it anyway?
He says, Pacey, it's just nearly 11 o'clock. With that, the clock in the hall strikes 2. So she lays into him for not only coming in late, but lying to her, and here it's 2 o'clock, and doesn't he know that he should have been in before 10? And all of a sudden, he starts to cry. His wife says, what's the matter, dear? Did you hurt yourself? What are you crying about?
He says, I'm just crying because you hurt my feelings. Just imagine when I'm thinking, he says, after 20 years of married life, you'd rather believe an old clock than your loving husband.
Well, you got an ever-loving 1,000 for Joe Nolan out there in Denver, Pete. That's what the meter says. Any hands up? Again, 3 hands. And Senator Ford looks pretty eager.
This is about the Topper Gills, Mr. and Mrs. Topper Gills. They've been married for about 10 years. And they were having their usual daily argument. And she began to snivel and said, I can remember when you asked me to say the word that would make you the happiest man in the world. He said, yes, but you said the wrong word. And then she began to cry. She said, I bet if I die tomorrow, you'd get married the next day. He said, I would not. I'd take a rest first. You know, I'm not very good at these husband jokes. I ought to be.
I don't know about that. You got a very restful 750 there.
That's restful. That's good.
It wasn't enough to tie Mr. Nolan's 1,000.
I think I've been a husband too long to get into this.
Not funny anymore, that it is. Well, anyhow, he still retains...
Hey, don't you go putting words in my mouth. You know, that gal I've been married to, harnessed to for 45 years, is probably listening in. All right, on with the show.
Let's just forget the whole thing, huh? Yeah, she still has a firm grip, a firm grip on that $25, and we have Harry Hirschfield next.
The famous story, there's a husband always drinking. And at a party, he's the only one who gets drunk. And his wife says to some of his friends, why don't you do something? And when he's the only one who gets inebriated, frighten him some way, do something, let him get a lesson. So he gets stewed that night, and they got a great idea. They took him to the cemetery, laid him out on the grave, and he figured when he wake up in the morning, he'd get frightened in the cemetery. Maybe the lesson is shock to him. So they put him on his grave, and in the morning when the sun starts shining on him, he opened his eyes and he said, sees the cemetery, and he said, if I'm alive, what am I doing here? And if I'm dead, why have I got such a lousy taste in my mouth?
Gave a mouthful of laughter. You had good taste. That was 1,000, Harry.
Harry, you told that gag ahead of me. I'd had a better one if I even reminded you. Go ahead with Ward.
Well, you tied it to go with 1,000, and so we chopped away $5, give him $20. And Ward, go ahead.
Well, hearing these inebriate gags, I'll throw one in, too, which is real quick. It isn't the story I thought of. About the guy that comes home with a real load of board, and he gets an awful wrangle with his wife, and they keep batting it back and forth, and finally he says, let me tell you something. You're homeless.
He says, is that so? Well, let me tell you something. You're drunk.
He says, well, I'll be sober in the morning.
Well, you knocked up 1,000 Laffy to the award.
Well, the original, can I get the story in that I meant to tell in the first place?
Surely, go ahead.
All right. Well, this is about a GI who was in boot training, and he'd been in a few weeks and decided, I saw some of the gals and boys in uniform out here in the audience remind me of it. He decided he wanted a weekend pass, so he went to the CO and he said, sir, I would like to have a weekend pass. He said, what for? He said, well, my wife is very upset. We're expecting any time, and she's a very nervous type, and she looks forward to me coming home on weekends, and I haven't been able to do it for many weeks, and I promised her I would, and I would like to have a pass here. This pass is denied you, sir, because I happen to have a telephone call from your wife this morning saying that you have been home before, that you're a troublemaker, that you get drunk when you're home, you make her extremely nervous and jeopardize her condition. He says, yes, sir. He started out the door, and he said, pardon me, sir. He said, may I forget that I'm in uniform and that you are, that you're not a major and that I'm not a private. Just talk man to man? He says, of course you can. He says, we're a couple of pretty good liars, you know, and I ain't even got a wife.
You got yourself another 1,000 Laffy award. And you tied Mr. Nolan twice, and inasmuch as two of you which tied Mr. Nolan's 1,000, we send him with our very best wishes, $15. Well, from a look at my clock, I think if we move along here, fellas, we can squeeze in the next another round. Our next contribution comes from a nice lady in Brooklyn. Her name is Bertha Mead, and her subject is one that should not be difficult for you three fashion plates. Clothes, gentlemen. Clothes. Pete, would you dress up the laugh leader with a fancy figure for Miss Mead, please?
This is about a very, very fashionable, wealthy woman. Very, very high fashion. Very elegant. The water on her knee was Chanel number 5. This is very... It's one of these women who gets her hair dyed a different color to go with every new fashion. You know, one week she's got platinum, and the next week she's got red, the next week she's got... Well, she's dyed it so many times, she hasn't got dandruff, she's got confetti most of the time. So this particular time, she has one of her new dresses over her arm, and she walks into a little cleaning establishment. And she said, I would like to speak to the manager, please. Manager! This little guy runs out, he says, hello, hello, hello.
He says, what could I do for you, sweetie?
She said, well, I purchased this dress 2 months ago, but by the time it was delivered, it did not match my hair. Quite a clash. And I want you to dye the dress to go with my hair.
It says, certainly, anything you want. They say, you want it exactly like the hair, sort of a dirty red.
She said, please, my hair is not red. This is tinted henna. That's the color. That's what we call it. Henna.
He said, all right, I'll fix everything. A number one yinkadoodle ipsy pitcher. Don't go about it.
Anything you want. So the following week she comes in to pick up the dress, and the guy brings it out, and it's a kind of a dirty, crummy canary yellow, a very peculiar mustardy color. She says, my goodness, what an awful color.
He says, what, are you peak a sneaker or something? What's the matter? He says, it's a yellow. He says, junk fools is yellow. Buttercups, you should excuse the expression, also yellow. It's a pretty color.
She says, but I didn't tell you to dye my dress yellow.
He says, no. You told me henna color, so I thought henna color would do. But then...
And Miss Mead will be glad to learn that it did, because that was 1,000 on the laugh meter that Miss Mead had there. So here it is, boys. Miss Mead challenges you with $25 and 1,000 on the laugh meter. Who wants to take up that challenge first? Again, we have three hands, and again, Senator Ford, who wants to go first?
Well, again, Pete reminded me of one. I hope it does better than the one I did before. Mr. Bunbottom isn't really a stingy guy. He's just economical. And one day his wife talked him into letting her buy a new dress. So that evening she flounced in with a very bright yellow gown on. See, what was the idea of getting that lemon-colored dress? She said, I got lemon color to remind me what a job I had squeezing it out of you. So I will now talk about this Mrs. Geckle. You know, she's the kind of a dame. She's an Amazon, you know, one of those big names. And she took her henpecked husband out to get him a suit, which she usually did. So they went into this clothing store and she picked out a suit for him. And the weasel had the temerity to say he didn't like it. And she, in an unguarded moment, said, well, after all, I suppose you should pick out your suits. After all, you're the one who wears them. He said, well, not completely. He said, let's compromise. I'll pick out the coat and vest, and you pick out the pants. You've been wearing them in this family for years anyway.
Top of the left, Mr. Senator. $1,000 is the amount you tied. Miss Meade's $1,000, so we topped away $5. She now has $20, and we have Ward Wilson second.
Well, being the spring of the year, this might be appropriate. These two gals down south had spent every last nickel they had for a new Easter hat. So they were all donned out with these new Easter bonnets, and they went to church. Coming out of church, a torrential rainstorm. Oh, it was coming down in buckets. So this one barged right out in the rainstorm. The other one pulled her skirt up and threw it up over her hat. And the first one turned around and saw her. She says, Mandy, says, what are you doing? You're exposing your anatomy to the rain. Says, maybe I is, but my anatomy is 40 years old and this hat's brand new.
That was a brand new $1,000 you got there, Ward. Oh, you also tied Miss Meade's $1,000. We chopped another $5. She now has $15. And Harry Hirschfield...
Oh, that's a new one on me, incidentally. Harry went
what a sucker I would be to go after that. But if you want the shortest one in the world...
Oh, I'd love it, yeah.
The shortest. Two women are looking at a third woman. One said, she looks like Helen Brown. She says she don't look at a good and white either.
Short-selling, but it was higher than that, Peter Harris. It was $1,000. Another perfect round, and however, inasmuch as all three of which tied Miss Meade's $1,000, we dispatched her with our very best wishes, $10. And that brings to a close tonight's transcribed session of Can You Top This, except for one thing. Write out your story in full and send it to Can You Top This. You start with $25, but each time a wit ties or tops you, you lose $5. In addition, if you top all our wits, you receive a recording of Peter Tunnell telling your story on the air. So send your slightly used jokes to Can You Top This and care of the station to which you are listening. And remember, if two or more persons send you the same joke, the first one received is the one used. All jokes become the property of Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford. Join us next week and every week, same time, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Ward Wilson.
Harry Hirschfield.
Peter Donald.
And Roger Bauer, inviting you to listen in again next week for a last session with Can You Top This?